Here's a passage of scripture over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 8, in which the apostle writes these words: But unto the Son, Jesus Christ, the Father saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever. The title of this message today is Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Now, my friends, if I had the ear of every person in this tri-state area interested, really interested in knowing God, if I had the ear of every person in this area truly interested, really interested in knowing the gospel and knowing how a holy God can save sinful men, I would urge all of you to study the book of Hebrews. I do not know of any epistle or book in the New Testament, or the Old Testament for that matter, that brings together both the Old Testament and the New Testament like the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews brings together the Old Testament and the New Testament as no other epistle. All of the prophecies of the Old Testament, all of the promises, all of the pictures and patterns of the Old Testament are fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord, and this is revealed in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews shows the superiority of Jesus Christ over the angels, over Moses, over the law. The book of Hebrews shows the excellency. If there's a word that would describe the book of Hebrews, it would be the word the excellency of Christ. The excellency of Christ over the Old Testament priesthood, over the Old Testament sacrifices, over the Old Testament tabernacle, over the Old Testament laws. Hebrews shows the glory of Christ, the glory of the new covenant over the old covenant with its ceremonies and its ordinances. And I'll tell you this, the book of Hebrews reveals the true rest, R-E-S-T, rest, the rest for those who believe, the rest of Christ. He said, I'll come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We have ceased from our labors and entered into his rest. And there's no book like the book of Hebrews in revealing the rest that the people of God have entered who believe on Christ. Now, the message and theme of the Old Testament, many of you have heard me say this many times. The message, the theme of the Old Testament is this. Someone is coming. Someone is coming. Someone is coming to this earth. This is the message of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all the way through the Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of these books in the Old Testament. The theme and the message of the Old Testament is someone is coming to this earth. You know, Job said that. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that at the last day he'll stand on this earth. Someone is coming to this earth who shall fulfill every promise, every prophecy, every picture, every type, every sacrifice of the Old Testament. And this someone, will redeem. He will redeem spiritual Israel from all their sins. You remember the woman at the well? She said, I know that the Christ, the Messiah, is coming, and he'll tell us all things we need to know. She knew these Old Testament scriptures, that someone is coming to the earth who shall fulfill all the promises and pictures and prophecies of the Old Testament. And my friends, that someone is Jesus Christ. That's what Hebrews is all about. Hebrews reaches back into the Old Testament and shows all of the ceremonies and sacrifices and types and pictures fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. You see, Jesus Christ is the seed of woman. When Adam had fallen in the garden, and God pronounced a curse upon him, and a curse upon the woman, and a curse upon the serpent, and he said to the serpent, the seed of woman shall bruise thy head, destroy thy power. And that seed of woman is the virgin son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is that prophet like Moses over in Deuteronomy. Moses wrote, he said, the Lord hath declared that he'll raise up a prophet like unto me out of the midst of the brethren, and him you shall hear. He'll tell you all things. That's what this woman at the well was quoting, that passage from Deuteronomy 18. Jesus Christ is that prophet. You know, the Father said, this is my son. Hear him. Hear ye him. And Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. He's the promised seed of Abraham, the miracle son. Jesus Christ is the priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek met Abraham out there in the wilderness. And the fulfillment of Melchizedek's appearance is Jesus Christ. Hebrews tells us that 4 or 5 times in Hebrews it says, and Jesus Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus Christ is David's son, King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is the Passover. He is the Passover. Paul writes that Jesus Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And Jesus Christ is that rock that followed them. In other words, the entire Old Testament scriptures are revealed in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Our Lord told those Pharisees in John 5, he said, you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures. You do. For in them you think you have life. But they are they which testify of me. The message of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. And that's revealed to us here in this book of Hebrews. In Acts 10:43, the scripture says this, to him give all the prophets witness, to Christ. What's the message of the prophets? Christ. What's the message of the Psalms? Christ. What's the message of Moses? Christ. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Actually, without Jesus Christ, the Old Testament scriptures have no meaning. Oh, you've got a bunch of priests running around. You've got animals shed. You've got different promises and prophecies. You've got a tabernacle. You've got a holy of holies. You've got a mercy seat. You've got an atonement. You've got rocks being smitten and water coming out of them. You've got an ark made that floated on a sea of judgment. You've got all of these things. Scapegoat. You've got bullocks and rams. You've got all these things. But they have no meaning without Jesus Christ. There's no meaning. There's no value to us whatsoever. Where is the temple? Now. Right now. Today. Where is the temple? Where's your temple? Where's your tabernacle? Where's your high priest? Where's your mercy seat? Where's your atonement? Where's your prophet? You see, you've got none. We've got no tabernacle. We've got no high priest. We've got no mercy seat. And God said, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. He said, there at the mercy seat, over the ark, over the broken law, between the cherubims, my glory will be revealed. I'll meet you at the mercy seat. Where's your mercy seat? I've given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. Where's our atonement? Where's the prophet? Well, in answer to all those questions, we turn to the book of Hebrews. And here all of it's revealed. Everything that the Old Testament has to say about the Christ, about the Redeemer, about the Messiah, is right here in the book of Hebrews. That's the reason I say if I had the whole world as an audience tonight, that's what I'd preach, the book of Hebrews. In verse 1, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Go there. Let's just begin right there. Hebrews 1, verse 1. And it begins with God. That's the way the Old Testament began, with God. In the beginning, God. And that's the way the book of Hebrews begins, God. God, who at different times and in various ways spake in times past to our fathers by the prophets. In other words, in the Old Testament, in times past. in the Old Testament days, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. He spoke to the prophets, and the fathers spoke, the prophets spoke to the fathers. Well, who were these prophets? It says God, in times past, in different ways, spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Who were these prophets? Well, Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, Abraham, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. These men were the prophets. Well, what did God speak about? When God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, what did he speak? What did the prophets speak? What did they say? Well, they spoke about the Messiah. They spoke about the Christ. They spoke about the Redeemer. Christ said, Moses wrote of me. He said, if you had believed Moses, you'd believe me. Moses wrote of me. What was the subject of Moses' message? It was the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer. That was Job's message. That was Moses' message. Abraham. What was Abraham's message? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. What was David's message? Here it is. David spake concerning him. That was David's message. He spake concerning him. In other words, Acts 10:43 sums it up. To him, to Christ, to the Messiah, to the Redeemer, give all the prophets witness. Let me show you a scripture. In Luke 24:27. Our Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified, buried, risen, and he had walked along the road to Emmaus with those disciples. And then this verse of scripture, this word was spoken, Luke 24:27. And it says, And beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, Moses, Samuel, all the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, all the prophets, and beginning at Moses, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, so forth. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, in all the Old Testament, the things concerning himself. What was the God? In different ways, at different times, spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Moses, Samuel, Abraham, all the prophets. What was their message? Their message was Christ and him crucified. That's exactly right. Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. Well, preacher, now I know God spake to our fathers by the prophets, these prophets, and he spake concerning Christ. But now, how did God speak concerning Christ? In what way did he reveal Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer, to these fathers of ours in the Old Testament? Well, first, by promises. Promises. The Old Testament's full of promises and prophecies. Like I said, the seed of woman, that's a promise. He said, the seed of woman will bruise the serpent's heel. That's a promise. And like in Isaiah, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign, a virgin shall be with son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah 9:6, listen to this. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God will raise up a prophet. The scepter, listen to this one. The scepter, the rod, the rule, shall not depart from Judah, the tribe of Judah, till Shiloh comes. In other words, if you go back to the Old Testament, and Hebrews shows us this, you can trace Christ, the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, from the family of Jesse, from the tribe of Judah, from the house and lineage of David, a prophet like Moses, a priest like Melchizedek, a king like David. He is promised and prophesied through the whole Old Testament. The entire Old Testament. That's what he said beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. How else did God speak to our fathers concerning Christ? Well, he spoke in the sacrifices. The Passover lamb. What's the meaning of the Passover lamb? The blood of an animal cannot put away the sin of a man. You don't think a holy God could be satisfied with the death of a little lamb shedding its blood for the sins of a man, do you? Well, what does that Passover lamb say? Well, that Passover lamb is Christ in picture. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets in promises, in prophecies, and in pictures. And that Passover lamb, he was the firstling of the flock. Christ is the firstborn of every creature. He was in the prime of life, a year old. Christ died at 33 years of age. He was without spot or blemish. Christ was without sin. He was put up for 4 days and observed to make sure there was no spot or blemish. Our Lord lived on this earth under the trial of the law, under the trial of men, under the trial of God, under the temptation of Satan. And there was found no sin in him. And then the lamb was slain, and his blood was shed. And that's a picture of our Lord. That rock in the wilderness, that's a picture of Christ. When Moses smote the rock and water came out, Christ is smitten. Blood and water flowed from his side. The scapegoat in the wilderness, that's a picture of Christ. The high priest would put his hands on the head of the scapegoat and confess the sins of Israel. And then they'd lead that scapegoat out in the wilderness and leave it. It'd never return. Christ bore our sins away. They'll never come back. The Day of Atonement, when the high priest went under the veil into the Holy of Holies and put the blood on the mercy seat, Christ is our mercy seat. Christ is our priest. Christ is our atonement. So God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And he gave them promises. He gave them prophecies. He gave them pictures. And then he gave them types. As Moses lifted up the serpent. You remember when all the people were bitten by those fiery serpents and they were dying, and Moses cried to God and said, what are we going to do? And God said, well, make a serpent of brass, just like the ones that have bitten the people, and raise it up on a pole. And Moses did. He made a serpent of brass just like the ones, the serpents that had bitten the people, and lifted it up. And whosoever looked lived. And Christ said himself, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The cities of refuge. You know what they're all about? You remember there were several cities called cities of refuge? And if a man accidentally killed a fella, and he was fleeing from the avenger, he could go into that city of refuge, and he was safe. He was safe. Well, that Christ is our refuge, the priest, the intercession, the veil rent in two. I tell you this, my generation is not going to understand the Old Testament scriptures until our preachers begin themselves to open the Word of God and study the Word of God, study the Scriptures, study the Old Testament in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling it all. Now, that's exactly right. Somebody's going to have to get the Bible and see how that Christ fulfills all of these Scriptures. You see, in Luke 24, our Lord went on. He said, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, before I went to the cross, that all things must be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled which are written in Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. This is the key to understanding the Scriptures. All these things written in the Old Testament, in the prophets, in Moses, in the Psalms, are concerning Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, our high priest, our redeemer, our sacrifice. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, die, and to rise again the third day. God spake to our fathers by the prophets, and his message was Christ. But now watch this. Verse 2. He hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. What are the last days? What's that mean, these last days? Well, there were 2,000 years from Adam to the law, the giving of the law, 2,000 years. There were 2,000 years from the giving of the law to Christ coming, the Messiah. Now, since the Messiah, we've been in the last days. All of the apostles talked about the last days. These are the last days. Since Christ died on the cross, these are the last days. So in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. Well, who is this Son? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is his Son. He said, this is my beloved Son. Jesus of Nazareth is his son. This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my son. Hear ye him. He is the Son of God. Son of man, Son of God. The Lord tells us who he is in these next verses. Who he is, what he did, and where he is now. Listen. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now watch this. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. That's who the Son is. He's the heir of all things. The heir of all things. Everything in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus Christ. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. I have all power over all flesh. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in the fullness of time, God will gather together all things in Christ. He's the heir of all things. And if you and I participate in any of these things, we're going to have to be a joint heir with Christ. We have to be united to him. So in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now watch this. By whom he made the worlds. By whom he made the worlds. Jesus Christ is the Creator. He's the eternal God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Listen to Colossians. By him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth. He is before all things, and by him all things are held together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Who is he? Listen, he's the brightness of God's glory. He is the express image of God's person. He said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. He's a revelation of God's glory. He's the exact image of his person. He's the one by whom all things are held together. That's who he is. That's what it says here. In the Old Testament, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now he's spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds, who's the heir of all things, who's the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Well, now watch the next verse. Well, what did he do to gain such preeminence? What did he do to gain such glory? What did he do to gain such exaltation? When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. What did he do? By himself. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. By himself. Redemption is the unaided work of Jesus Christ. It was a solo performance. The royal bath in which black souls are washed white was drained from the veins of the Son of God. The banquet of mercy is served up by one host, the Lord of glory. You come, everything's ready. By himself, he purged our sins. Why don't I believe in purgatory? Because all of our sins have been purged by the blood of Christ. Purged, paid for, put away, satisfied. By one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ has suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Well, where is he now? He said, by himself, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. He's not pacing the road. He's not pacing the streets of glory. He's not pacing the balcony of glory, disturbed and frustrated and disappointed by what's going on. He's a satisfied Savior who finished what he came to do, redeemed his people, and sat down. He sat down. And your relationship with God Almighty depends entirely on your attitude toward his Son. That's the way it is. God, who spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, these are the last days, this is the last prophet, this is the last message, this is the last call. He hath spoken to us by his Son, who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. who said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Who said other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Who said he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall never see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who also has ascended to heaven, and who ever lives to make intercession for us. Do you see what I'm saying? The book of Hebrews. And this is just the first three or four verses of chapter 1. And all of these chapters go through the same way, revealing how that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Redeemer. He's the fulfillment of every picture, prophecy, promise, pattern, type, priest, tabernacle in the Old Testament. We have a tabernacle. It's Christ. We have a priest. It's Christ. We have an atonement. It's Christ.